I try not to linger quite so long, because you simply have demanded some kind of an explanation about how this movement of Christianity began. Quote, "If you know so much, Hatton," is the way it was put to me. I accept those insults as graciously as I can, but I am appalled at how little you ones go and research your own history to validify that which you give your whole existence and power into. At any rate, Paul and Barnabas set about their journeys. And this series of journeys would then establish Paul as the preeminent missionary to the Gentiles. And through his doctrine of salvation through faith in the Son of God, the single most influential voice came to the surface in shaping early Christianity. This man who did not really even know Jesu Emmanuel. And therefore all of those letters to all of those churches were not from the Christ. They were from Paul, Saul of Tarsus. The mass conversions of Gentiles played a major, major role in distancing Christianity from its Jewish roots and thus in refining the doctrines of faith. The Hellenists in Antioch, for example, didn't require Gentile converts to be circumcised as required by Mosaic law. This was a biggie. This was really big, precious ones. A teaching at odds with the conservative Jews of Hebrew Christians. The issue eventually became so divisive that Paul and Barnabas went to Jerusalem to meet with Peter and James, these disciples of earlier days, to settle the matter. And the broader question before the Council of Jerusalem was whether Gentiles must first become Jews in order to become Christians. Paul argued that pagans had no obligation to obey the Mosaic law, and the council ultimately agreed with him, breaking a major barrier to the conversion then of Gentiles. To some scholars, however, in studying that, the Jerusalem conference revealed something else about the early church that then overshadowed its later development. As it moved beyond Palestine, its leaders were increasingly uncomfortable with the diversity of belief and practice among its followers. The church was moving toward a consolidation of authority and the discovery or invention of more formal means of making decisions. Thus, the Jerusalem Conference was the prototype for the great church councils of later centuries that would root out heresies and go on to refine doctrines. The further Christianity moved beyond the influence of Jerusalem, the freer it was to broaden its theological horizons was the consequence. As the church expanded into Asia Minor, for instance, it shifted from emphasizing Jesus as the Christ, Greek for Messiah, to Jesus as the Son of God, a description that dominates Paul's letters. The term Messiah, explains a scholar by the name of Dunn in his book, Unity and Diversity in the New Testament, had little relevance to Gentiles, and in fact, carried negative nationalistic connotations outside of Palestine. However, Son of God could serve as a bridge between those Jewish and Gentile thoughts. So both societies were familiar with the idea that a good or great man could be called a Son of God. Didn't have to be a Christ. Didn't have to be Jesus. It could be a Son of God. And it could, therefore, have those connotations of divinity, which then, of course, developed. So in many ways, Christianity was founded at the perfect time to guarantee its rapid spread. It had Greek as this common language, and it made communication possible in virtually every city in that day. The Greek culture, which was more open to new ideas and also accepted these novel religious beliefs, provided a nice fertile ground for Christian proselytizers. So this Christian message was especially appealing to city dwellers. Cities of the day were awful places to live. Urban social classes were sharply divided between poor and elites. To the poor, when the Christians talked about God as a great benefactor, a God who freely gives gifts, it had a lot more appeal than to simply talk about the one true God, in which you had to obey laws and rules and assume some responsibility. So as we go along, there isn't any coincidence that Christianity spread mainly to the north and west from Palestine. The network of roads built and protected by the Roman armies provided those routes, and it became relatively easy in access from Jerusalem to the cities of Asia Minor, Macedonia, which is Thessaloniki, that is northern Greece, Achaia, and on to Rome. Paul alone is estimated to have traveled nearly 10,000 miles by land and sea during 4 missionary journeys through the Mediterranean region. And if you're in Thessaloniki, you can go and visit what was considered the cell, or the dungeon, in which Paul was captured and placed on one of those journeys. So, despite Christianity's appeal, the future, friends, was not to bring endless success for the growing church. The Christian message, which increasingly seemed to depart from Jewish law, met a lot of opposition from those synagogues. So Paul would be beaten, stoned, and chased out of many towns. He was not pulling away and into something. He was diversifying and challenging the Jewish church and synagogues. So you see, it wasn't all as purely wondrous in its teaching as Paul is portrayed in your Holy Bible of today's intent, but he was a troublemaker as far as the Jewish synagogue teachings were concerned. He wasn't as much for something as he was against something. So anyway, in those years to come, Christians in Rome and Asia Minor would face persecution that would make the earlier repression in Palestine seem very mild. And this would be thanks to this Paul, who was not teaching the teachings of this Jesus. He was teaching his own doctrine. It was the doctrine of Paul. So we move along, and with the destruction of Jerusalem by the Romans in 70 AD, this already weakened Jerusalem church would virtually disappear. This would leave the Hellenistic Christianity to increasingly dominate and define the growing faith, and that's where Paul had his foothold. That Christianity changed dramatically in the first generation, and it's beyond question that it changed greatly in the hands of Paul. Of course, today, what is often disputed is whether those changes reflected the inventiveness of the first Christian missionaries or the organic development of what was already there. In other words, in Jesus' teachings, or this Isu Emmanuel's teachings, or was it great change? And so you end up in either case in their struggle to understand what it means to confess Jesus as Lord. Those early Christians left behind no easy answers, did they? You have come up with the answers, and they are more diversified than were the answers that were non-existent in that day. You just pick one. And the big one now is that this Jesus went to his sacrifice, and if you simply believe on the blood of this Jesus, who was not Jesus at the time, he will take unto himself all of your errors, sins, and misdeeds. And you are off scot-free while he bears them all, and you just simply wait for some kind of a rapture to a heavenly place of glory. Not so, friends. I'm sorry, it will not be that way. It was not even laid forth that way back then, in that time. Rapture is not even so much as mentioned in your Holy Bible. And yet it is the big confusing factor of today's religious doctrines. We're going to rapture off to the clouds somewhere when our master teacher, God Jesus, comes to get us. No, it will not be that way. And yet that's a question that men and women are pondering 2,000 years later. And you still quarrel about, and you still denounce me as satanic because I bring you truth. It isn't that way. It will never be that way. And I'm only here to tell you that, as a host, coming before again that great teacher, so that you might find some truth out of this journey in experience. So what about this Apostle Paul? I wish that all of you would go back, please, and read, and they called his name Emmanuel. This is a gospel. This is a story of Jesus as given to his close friend who bore a non-truth throughout these eons of time while the politicians covered the facts. Well, as God has always promised, man would know the truth before his final days into judgment. But you ought to know a little bit about this Paul, of this Saul of Tarsus, because this is the one who literally formed the doctrines and set the rules for what you do this day. Now, we will admit this Paul, this apostle, who called himself apostle, follower, believer on this person that he labeled Jesus, was a totally tireless missionary and theologian. He went fanatically from place to place. And he is today, in all religions, acclaimed as the most influential figure, including Jesus himself, in shaping Christianity's course. He was a rabbi and a Roman citizen. Did you hear me? He was a rabbi, a Jewish rabbi. He persecuted Christians in Palestine long before the event of his supposed conversion, which never happened. He was never converted. And he was promised, as he met this young teacher, this young Son of God, this Messiah, whom he later dubbed Jesus. And this man told him that he would live out his days in confusion, and he would begin and create a religious movement which would cost millions of men their very soul. And someday, all would come into judgment for that indiscretion. and all his journey throughout all time would he pay for that wrongful act of deceit. It was his letters, precious ones, to those churches in that time of all this teaching that make up half, yes, about half of those 27 books of your New Testament. His teachings on Jesus as Son of God, on the centrality of the cross and on salvation by faith, not works, became the central tenets of the church. When this young teacher, Jesus, had said, it is works, not simply faith, that makes the man. But Paul's eloquent arguments against the authority of Mosaic law at the Council of Jerusalem in AD 45 assured that Christianity's growth from a Jewish sect into a world religion would come to be. It would also divide totally all Judaism. You would now form up from the wholeness two factions that would later grow into many factions, and you would forever be enemies and mutually exclusive in your tenets of belief. Even you of the Christian so-called churches today have to confront the absolute contradictions of the teachings of Paul and the commandments laid down by God and the remindings that you got from Isu Emmanuel. They are sexist. He taught no equality. Where are you women who want your equal rights? You would not find them in Paul's church. How is it that you can denounce me as a host come in my efforts to share with you truth of the way it was and the way it is, while you still cling to those contradictions and sort the ones you like from the ones that please you not, while you set your tithing to suit your building code needs and honor the great giver instead of the widow's mite? How is it that you stand and pound your chest and proclaim your Zionism as great evangelical speakers and teachers, and your politicians now pound their chest and speak of Zionism and fellow Zionists, when that movement of Zionism is Talmudism and has nothing to do with either Judaism or Christianity? It is a political party set out for conquering and one world control. And you think the Crusades were bad, and Inquisition, perish the thought. Over 6 billion people will be slain and slaughtered and massacred in this Zionist takeover of the world. Who do you honor this day of crucifixion? 1,000 years ago, or the thousands perishing this very day from man-made disease and catastrophe come upon you at the hands of the Antichrist. You cling to the physical aspect of an event and forget of the spiritual infinity of the teachings if the laws are simply followed in this experience. It is a time of remembering those laws. It is a time of realizing that come Easter Sunday morning, what is it you celebrate? Ask a child . He will first tell you it means Easter bunnies and Easter eggs. And then chocolate and gumdrops. And sometimes, precious ones, it's as well. Because you've long since forgotten even how to pray unto God. Because you ask in the blood of the Lamb instead of the name of God, wherein your power lies. And you cop out and you dump it on another physical being while you clutch at physical things, when all there is the spiritual you, and all other things are not. Easter, a pagan holiday. And I did not say a native Indian aboriginal holiday. I said pagan, a worshiper of many gods, the Indian, who is not Indian, but the human God called people. Have only one great spirit, and they revere and honor all things created by that great spirit. And you denounce them and classify them as pagans. This is to cover your own guilt in what you have done to your fellow man and your brother. In your greed for acquisition of that which belongs to another. Was Christ real? Yes, Christ was real, because he is still real. And you are marching into that reality. I can only ask you ones to be open. Because by setting your limits on God, you limit self. And you'll be waving goodbye as God departs. Because God is not of force, and he is not of coercion. And you will come into your knowledge. But will it be in time? There's a great, great spiritual awakening happening. And there is a great religious awakening happening. Unfortunately, there's a greater religious movement than there is spiritual awakening. God is very simple. God has very simple rules. God creates, and you are his most wondrous creation, you of humanness, gifted with ability to reason and think. And you give away your greatest power, your greatest gift, and turn it into the hands of those who tell you lies. Does this mean that you should not go out and honor the sunrise and peer into an Easter lily and come into communion with God, the risen God, the Holy God, at this time? It's time you did something. Even look into the heart of an Easter lily, because therein is God. He's not on a hill far away. He's not still on Golgotha. Why don't you let him off that cross and bear your responsibilities and stop dumping them on an energy form trying to make you remember so he can show you the way home? This pale and wondrous prophet who walked the different continents to visit with his people all over this globe. This wondrous, beauteous, marvelous creation that has mothered you, sustained you, and given you a magnificent place for experience, so that your soul could grow into knowing of its truthful reality. What a brotherhood that causes one celebrating the day to walk on one side of the street without acknowledging those walking on the other side of the street, and yet come day's end and the morrow comes and commercially you set out to cheat one another as if there had been no celebration or purification. What is it that holds you in this fear, this entrapment, when you have an experience awaiting you that is beyond all glory? God has prepared a place for you, a place to fill your needs, from physical to spiritual, and you cling to Easter eggs and boiled chicken eggs. He will take you up on wings as eagles, and you shall traverse the universe, and you would rather hunt chocolate eggs and dwell in boredom and denial and political degradation as you slip into and under the power and control of a one-world evil government set out to enslave the wondrous creations of God. I find it difficult to speak on this subject, most especially on a wondrous, wondrous spring day, while the winds are cleansing and the wildflowers are blooming. And God is waiting. God is waiting. How long will he continue to wait? Precious ones, at the rate you are going, man will not wait for God's coming. God is already there. God is within. But what you tinker with now is the driving away of God, the refusal for the acceptance of God, And when you have reached that point where you totally deny God, as is being done on your planet by the multitudes, moving into a humanistic society that can only function in the human format. And let me remind you, that means maybe 100 years. That is not the average. You have compromised infinity for a very, very short blinking of an eye, my friends. And yet that is your choice. May God be heard, for he's crying out from within, and only within shall ye hear him. I am but the leader of the host. I am Hetong, and I bid you good day. May you ponder these things.